Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Slice of Healthcare. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. On today's episode, we have Nurse Anna. She is an endoscopy RN, blogger, burnout survivor, does a little bit of everything. Very excited to release this episode. She also has her own blog, which we'll reference within the podcast and in the show notes, called the Burnout Book. And we look forward to hopefully having her on again in the future. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Block Health. Block Health is making life easier for healthcare professionals and organizations by streamlining many of the onboarding tasks that they must engage in. Be sure to check Block Health out at www.blockhealth.com. Without further ado, let's bring Anna on.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us on the Slice of Healthcare podcast.
Yeah, of course. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Just came through clear. I have to lower my volume sometimes, the way they record. Sometimes it's really loud. I don't know if it's like that on your end too, but it tends to be the case.
Gotcha. Your voice sounds fine on my end.
Great. Yeah. Because one time I had my volume on full when we were recording the podcast, and it was like someone screened my ear and my ear was ringing for the foreseeable future during the podcast. So learned my mistake.
Oh, my goodness.
So I would love for you to start off by telling the audience a little bit about yourself, and we can go from there.
Oh, sure. So my name is Anna Rodriguez, and I am currently over in Salt Lake City, Utah. Just relocated here. Right before this, I was doing some travel nursing and grew up in Idaho. That's where most of my nursing background has been. But as far as nursing goes, I've been a nurse for 10 years. I started in 2008 and did the 1 year of med surge, like everyone suggested, got that knocked out. And then I went off and went into telemetry for a couple years. I did CVICU. I transitioned to the nurse manager of that unit, of that 10-bed CVICU, and then did that for 2 years, transitioned back to the bedside and did travel nursing, did float pool, critical care float pool for a year, and then now I am currently working in endoscopy doing procedure nursing, which is another fun, you know, twist on things that I hadn't been able to experience before. I've got a couple certifications for progressive care and critical care. I just love kind of the continuing education aspect where there's always something new you can learn. Once you're a nurse, there's a million different routes you can take.
Now you also are into blogging as well.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, it's been a year now, January 1st of 2018, I started a website and blog. It's called The Burnout Book. And it was kind of an attempt to create a community for nurses who were feeling the burn with the work that they were doing. I went through my own burnout experience when I was a nurse manager. And that's the reason I went back to the bedside, was to try and manage things differently and get that spark back for nursing that I knew it was a career I loved, but I definitely knew that role wasn't for me, and I was burning the candle at both ends, and it just, yeah, a lot of things were happening. So I went through it. I recognized that it's very taboo. It's a topic nobody really wants to talk about. If you're feeling burnout at work, some people think that, you know, you're weak. Especially in critical care, I think we're supposed to be like the hardcore, badass nurses that, you know, just can do anything. And honestly, like, that is only the case for so long before you finally, I think, reach a point where either you find a way to manage the stress and take care of yourself, or it will just completely burn you out. So I wanted to create a way for people to communicate with each other and realize they're not alone, but then also provide resources and just have that space for other nurses who are going through it.
What are some early signs of burnout?
the first couple, so early recognition is so important. I think it's important for nursing students to figure this out and to be aware of it. I think it's important for, you know, an experienced nurse who's got 20 years under their belt to know these signs and be able to recognize it. So the first couple that typically come on are feeling a little more cynical, a little jaded. Maybe you're, you know, having a hard time tapping into that empathetic, compassionate side. You are looking at a patient and their issues and you're seeing it, you know, from a more like burdensome side where you're just really struggling mentally to connect with them. So that's kind of the start of it. And there, I mean, that describes so many of us, right? I mean, after a while that it's a coping mechanism. You have to, you know, be able to, you know, disconnect and leave work at work. And so it begins that way. And then a few other symptoms people start recognizing are when they're feeling a little more disconnected as far as like engagement at work, when they don't want to, you know, participate in things or be involved at a deeper level. If they're noticing issues where they're dreading coming to work, if they're really just, you know, not like we all have bad days, but if you're having more bad days than good ones, that could be a red flag. And then just overall, if you're feeling stressed and anxiety about the work, you know, all of that can be early signs.
Now, what are some things that people can do to get out of that? And in your opinion, what is it? Does burnout occur in, I mean, obviously you were in a specific nursing focus, but is it, it can happen in any specialty. It can happen in any job,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But it seems like healthcare, it happens more. Why do you think that is?
My take on this is that healthcare professionals are at such high risk for burnout because we are in a role where part of your job expectation is to like come to work and to care about things. you need to like kind of project that emotional connection and care about things in a way that can be emotionally, physically, mentally draining. And at the end of the day, you've given so much of yourself to other people that you get home, you have a hard time connecting to family, or you just need to relax and like not even, you know, exert yourself in any way. And then sometimes you can't even give back to yourself and replenish your own energy so that you can, you know, keep on doing that. I mean, that's my take on it.
How do you find time to blog, be active on social media, and also you have a dog as well, right?
I do, yeah. We've got a corgi. He's almost 2 years old.
And aren't corgis high energy dogs?
Yeah, they were like bred to be herding dogs. Yeah, he's got a lot of energy for sure.
The corgis, they're super low to the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right? Okay.
Yep, the little tiny legs and yeah, very low. It's snowing out here and the snow's up to his chest. It's kind of adorable.
And they're very happy dogs, right?
Yeah, very good demeanor. We feel like we got lucky with Walter because he's just such a friendly dog. He loves meeting people and other dogs. He's got a really good demeanor. And I think that's kind of innate to that breed, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's aren't they from? I think they're from England, right? Aren't they like royal?
So the Queen of England loves corgis. She's got like a whole herd of them. I don't know if it was in England or it's a European country where they originated from. They were bred to herd like smaller animals like sheep and goats, and then they're a good friendly family dog. But they do shed.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's usually one of the downsides of any dog.
Totally.
Well, so how do you find time with a dog and work to be active on social media and blog?
That's a good question. I mean, there are definitely moments where different things kind of take the priority. So obviously for me, when I'm at work, I really do try and make sure that, I mean, there are a lot of people who maybe approach this differently, but I am very conscious of HIPAA and making sure that I'm compliant, and I rarely post or interact unless it's on a break or before or after work. Like during work, that's something that, like, it's important to me to make sure that I'm, you know, obviously there to do my job. But it's, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where each day there's a different priority. So the days I'm scheduled to work takes priority. And then after work, what's nice is the job I'm in now, it's 8-hour shifts. I do four 8-hour days a week. And so I come home, and having been used to 12 hours, I'm like loving that there's these few hours every evening that I used to not have. Now I feel like it's a little gift. Like I have time to make dinner with my husband, and then I have time to interact with, you know, people on social media. I don't know, you kind of just, yeah, make little blocks of time and prioritize what is important for each day and each block, and then focus on that. I mean, I'm still figuring this out. Like I get distracted super easily, and I get, you know, off into rabbit holes, especially online. But I feel like I'm getting better at it. It's a skill that takes practice.
Do you think it's something that schools need to place more of a priority on, being able to, I mean, I know time management is key and it's going to be important in anything, but I feel like schools don't necessarily make it a priority to encourage, like, hey, when you are super busy, like, here's some ways to manage your time. Here's some ways to lower your stress levels. I feel like it's something you have to learn on your own, right? For the most part.
Everything I've kind of figured out has been either self-taught or I watch other people. I see how other people manage it, and I'm like, oh, I want to mirror what they're doing, like take them as a mentor and figure out how to put that into my own life. Never something really that was discussed in school. I think that's a great idea though, because, you know, as a new nurse, especially, time management is huge, and it's not just at work. It's finding that work-life balance and being able to figure out, like, what can I do on my days off to optimize my energy and my recovery time so that I can go back to work as a better nurse. I think that's so important.
Absolutely. What are some of the ways you think we can innovate more in healthcare?
I have loved seeing like a trend towards like the healthcare social media accounts that are popping up more and more. People finding a way to do the like free online education for medical professionals, you know, making sure that it's, you know, accurate information, of course, but a lot of people are just offering, you know, whatever their expertise is, you can go out and find it, and it's so available, which is amazing. Like I love that there's professional organizations. I'm involved with AACN, the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, and in the last year, watching them and their online social media presence expand and like reach out to members, finding ways to interact and connect, I really enjoyed watching that. And then just like in general, the whole move towards telehealth, telemedicine, tele-ICUs, all of that has been interesting to watch too. Like, and then even patients being able to communicate with doctors online, you know, everything, charts are all electronic, they can access it from home. There's like health coaches they can consult over their computers. Like everything is shifting to be more accessible. It's very exciting to watch.
What is your role with the AACN?
Oh, so I'm a member. I'm also an ambassador and a volunteer. And in May of 2018, last year, I was one of their social media influencers at their national conference that was in Boston. So I have been there. I visited once.
You were in Boston?
I was, yeah. Oh, last May.
Geez. Well, it was beautiful. Too bad we didn't know each other then.
I know. What a shame. I'm sure sometime I will find my way back. There's so much I didn't get to see, but loved it. Beautiful city. So I was over there. I was a social media influencer, which meant for the like 4-day conference that they had, I was helping promote like what sessions were going on and interacting with people on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And I really enjoyed that. And so, and since then I've just been involved in like a volunteer capacity, and in the sense that I'll be helping out with different committees, or mostly it's been online focused, but there's a couple times where I'll get to meet with other volunteers in a group. And and we recently revamped the scope and standards little document that they had, and that was a fun opportunity. So yeah, that's kind of my involvement with them.
When's the next annual conference?
It's going to be this coming May. So May 2019, it's like the 20th through the 24th, around there. And it is down in Orlando, Florida this year. I've already got my registration, and I'll be attending. It's going to be fun.
I can't find anything for it online.
So if you look up AACN NTI, National Teaching Institute and Critical Care Exposition, that's like the official title.
How many people go on average? A lot?
Last year we had around 9,000.
Wow.
I want to say. It's the largest specialty organization for nurses. I think American Nurses Association is the largest for nurses, but then if you were to categorize it by specialty, AACN focuses on critical care and progressive care, and yeah, they're the largest organization for that category of nurses.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I might have to check that out.
Oh my gosh. Totally. You should. it's a blast.
If I go, we're meeting up.
Yes. Oh, please.
Absolutely. I would love that. Next time you're in Boston, let me know. We'll give you the tour.
Yes.
There's a lot of places, a lot of good places around the city that just, I mean, aren't common. Right, that people readily would know to go look at. So,
oh, I would love that. I feel like, I missed. I only got to see like a tiny little sliver of it. So,
what advice would you have for younger healthcare professionals that are just starting out?
My advice for someone just starting out into healthcare is probably going to revolve around. I mean, it's obviously the thing I'm passionate about. It's going to revolve around self-care. It's going to be advice probably geared more towards them finding the right fit than trying to make something work. So, for example, if a new nursing student is, you know, graduating and looking for the right job, instead of like kind of just looking for something like generic, or like for me, taking the advice of everyone and saying, go do med surg for a year first before you do anything else. Like that's good advice. That's fine. It doesn't have to be that way though. Like kind of find a way to hone in on like what your like preferences are, what's going to make you thrive and feel the most effective as a nurse and really keep that passion going. I think longevity in nursing is the focus. Like you don't want to be that nurse who gets into it and 1 or 2 years in you're just burnout because you've given so much of yourself to something that is just draining you and you're not able to find a way around that, if that's making sense. So my advice would be find something that you're really excited about, that really like keeps that passion going. But knowing in nursing, there's always another opportunity. There's always another different path to take, different doors that open. So, you know, and for me, I'm a good example. I've done like how many different roles in nursing? I've tried out a bunch of different options and am still enjoying, you know, each new role as it comes and learn something new. But ultimately, find the thing that works for you. Don't feel like you're having to be loyal or committed to something that just is not a good fit. Don't have any tolerance for bullying or workplace violence. That none of that's normal. It shouldn't be accepted. It shouldn't be normalized. If that's happening, find a way to get help, talk to leadership, you know, kind of get out of that situation, but just know that there's going to be a good fit for you.
What is your favorite part about your job? And I know that's a really loaded question. That's tough, but if you had to pick one thing.
I think it all boils down to patient interaction. So as a nurse manager and then as a bedside nurse, my favorite moments really are being able to interact with patients. My long-term plan is to get my master's in nursing education and being able to like work with either nursing students from an academic side or possibly, you know, nursing professionals from a clinical side. But I know that I'll, you know, still have opportunities to interact with patients, which really I think is the part that I, when I look back on my day, that's the parts, those are the parts that I enjoyed the most. But then, yeah, the other thing that really is up there, like I said, is the fact that nursing does have so many opportunities for education, always new things to learn. There's never a point where you can get bored unless you kind of let yourself get there.
Absolutely. One of the last things I want to cover on the podcast with you today is let's make a case for why should someone become a nurse today? So there's many different healthcare professions that someone can get into. Why do you feel, being a nurse would be great for someone?
Okay, so I love this question. I would suggest healthcare to anyone, whether it's nursing or becoming a radiology tech or pharmacy. I feel like you pick something in healthcare, you're going to have good job security and the pay is going to be decent, hopefully. For the most part, and that's like a good place to start. A case for nursing specifically, my argument for that would just be, as long as you can handle, you know, just that, you know, getting through nursing school, because that is not for everyone. As long as you can handle a little bit of blood and needles and maybe some poop now and then, you know, that isn't for everyone either. But if you can get through that part and look at it from I'm here to do a job and disconnect from it, like that mindset, becoming a nurse is such a rewarding profession because you have that opportunity to touch lives, to help people when they're most vulnerable, and you just feel, you have that like immediate satisfaction that a lot of jobs don't offer or even like have that sense of. So it's, in a way, it's kind of, I feel like, an easy answer, because like that's what everyone wants. Everyone wants to have a job where they feel fulfilled. Nursing provides that in such a obvious way. So I don't know as long as you can handle some needles and blood and some guts and gore, it's great.
What I found too is, videos on Instagram and, you know, a lot of these other things that you see become popular in healthcare and from people not even in healthcare, there's people wanting to watch, right? Dr. Pimple Popper and all those things.
It's kind of a TLC show now.
Yeah. It's what's interesting to me about all of that is I was really grossed out the first time I saw a lot of this stuff, but the more I see it, it becomes more commonplace. Like, it doesn't even bother me anymore. I used to not have the stomach for it. So I think there's something to be said about that, that you just got to keep looking, so to speak, until it finally feels okay.
Exposure therapy.
Yeah, until you're finally like, okay, this isn't that bad.
Well, and that being said, there are so many jobs in nursing where you don't do that every day. Like, if you can get through it for nursing school and a few clinicals and, like, maybe that first couple years of nursing, you can go do something that doesn't require that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to keep you any longer. I want to thank you so much for being on the Slice of Healthcare podcast. This will probably be out in the next couple weeks. I mean, we have a few that have to be released beforehand. But I would also love to, I don't know if you know anyone there, or you must know someone there, what am I saying, at the AACN to get them to distribute this to their network as well. I think it'd be a great thing for everyone in that association to hear.
Oh, sure, yeah. Definitely.
So we can talk about that off the podcast and see how to set that up. But thank you so much for coming on the Slice of Healthcare podcast. Hopefully we'll be able to do this again soon. And we wish you all the best and look forward to following you on social media and staying in touch.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a great day. Stay warm.
You too. Oh my gosh. You too.
Bye.
Thank you to everyone that joined us on another episode of Slice of Healthcare. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Slice of Healthcare. On Twitter, we're at Slice of HC. We don't use that channel as much. We're going to start using it more moving forward. And be sure to subscribe to our blog, www.sliceofhealthcare.com. Looking forward to producing some more good content for you. Thanks again to our sponsor, Block Health. Block Health is making life easier for healthcare professionals. Be sure to check them out at www.blockhealth.com.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.